Right now, wind east at 7, humidity high at 81%, 73 degrees for both Racine and Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am so happy to be sitting opposite Dr. John Swallow, the president of Carthage College, joining us as a new school year is underway at Carthage. In fact, yesterday, Wednesday, was the first day of class. And of course, ahead of that first day, all kinds of preparations have been underway in every aspect of the college and campus. And we're going to be talking about what things are looking like at Carthage, particularly amazingly robust numbers of students at a time when so many colleges and universities are struggling. We will talk about that success story as well as the challenges that do remain. We'll be talking about, as we said, the outset of the school year and all that has to happen in order for students to be properly welcomed and launched. We'll talk about some interesting changes at Carthage in terms of staffing, some facilities work, and a whole lot to cover. And so without further ado, President John Swallow, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, and of course, it means another school year's underway. I'm curious, first of all, to know what your summer looked like. College presidents, I'm pretty sure, don't get the summer off, but generally speaking, what are you busy doing in those summer months?
Well, I'm busy in the summer months visiting a lot of Carthaginians. Mm. This summer it was a couple of events in Minocqua, four events in Door County, and there are Carthaginians in other places than Wisconsin, but Wisconsin in the summer certainly attracts lots of people, and that was great fun.
Great. Wonderful. So I touched on one matter that I know you are excited to talk about, and that is the fact that in a landscape, in an environment that is exceedingly difficult for higher education institutions of all kinds, Carthage is doing an incredible job of continuing to attract students. So first of all, maybe it might be helpful to lay in context what you're going to share with us a little bit about those challenging circumstances that face higher education, and then present the numbers that are such a positive story.
Sure. Well, it's hard to even list all the challenges that we're facing in higher education. Certainly, there are a lot of questions and skepticism about the value of post-secondary education, sort of all forms. There are questions about affordability. There's a level of questions of trust from families about what we're doing. Do we have the right programs? Do we have the right opportunities? Are there better options than college? And then other things have gone on at the same time. Family income has been challenged for some groups. The local job market has been strong, and so that's provided an attractive force for people who'd like to go ahead and go to work right out of high school, which is great, and we just hope that they'll think about their education over time. So the challenges are probably more than any in my 8 years. This is my eighth year at Carthage. So we're very proud to have such a large entering class again. We'll have over 900 new students, so this may be a record year again. We tend to actually check on a particular day in October. That's when we do our records. But we had a record year in 2018, and then another one in 21, and another one in 23. And, of course, we want to keep the streak going and do it again in 24. And so this should put us again being the second largest private institution in Wisconsin, if you count by full-time undergraduates.
Mm. And, of course, to even come close to just maintaining or not missing the mark by much, even that would be an incredible accomplishment in this environment in which we find ourselves. So the thought of actually setting records is extraordinary.
That's right. Well, we've really been focused on delivering a program and opportunities that students and families are interested in. And I want to give all the credit to an amazing group of faculty and staff who have seen that we need to make sure that Carthage continues to provide those things. And the suite of offerings that we had, say, 10 or 20 years ago, may not match exactly what students want today. And there are always new things students are interested in. Over the last several years, I'm sure everyone listening knows that we started the nursing program, you know, almost 10 years ago. More recently, we started an engineering program, a healthcare administration program. And then some of our existing programs are finding new audiences. Mm. Music theater, in particular, has been growing by leaps and bounds. Graphic design is up. On the whole, if you were to step back a bit, over the past 6 years, we've added 17 undergraduate degree programs, 4 graduate programs, 4 varsity athletic teams. But I'd say deep down, what's going on is that families see us as responsive to what their student is interested in.
Hmm.
And we try to do this in a very plain-spoken, not full of higher education jargon way. When families come and visit, they meet our people, and they get a sense of the quality of the program, which is really what they're interested in. What does it look like? Who are the faculty going to be? What does the program look like? What are the opportunities afterwards? And so that has just been going swimmingly. I'm really proud. Mm. And I also wanted to say that, we have students from a wide range of places and backgrounds. And one population that's increased, actually, is our commuting population.
Mm.
So as families are concerned about the affordability of higher education, one way that many families make this work is that the student lives at home. And our entering class is 4 percentage points higher in the percentage of commuters.
Hmm.
So it went from 17 to 21%. So we're very pleased for those families, too, that have found a way to Carthage in a way that's going to work for them.
Right. We should maybe clarify that when we talk about all of the new students coming to Carthage this fall for the first time, the vast majority of those are kind of, if we want to call them, standard freshmen. But there are also other newcomers to campus, other new students beyond that sort of core freshman class, new freshmen coming to campus. Explain that sort of wider picture.
So when we all think about traditional college students, we would call them a little more technically full-time undergraduates.
Mm.
So they are going to school full-time. So there are also some part-time students, but this is really the core of what we're thinking about. And so that is certainly the bulk of what Carthage is doing. So it will approach 900 full-time undergraduates in the new class this fall. But of those, almost 800 are coming directly out of high school. And so that would be even more traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have an increasing number of students who aren't coming directly from high school. They're coming from another post-secondary institution. So it could be another four-year institution, although more and more often, what's happening is they're coming to Carthage after completing a degree at a two-year institution.
Mm.
Gateway, for instance, where we're speaking right now,
right.
Or College of Lake County, or even beyond that. And that group of students has been increasing quite a bit. And I want to really thank our faculty, who over a year ago passed a very smooth transfer policy. For reasons that it's hard to understand, but colleges have tended to have a very complicated transfer policy where you have to have a transcript that then undergoes weeks of review, course by course, sometimes even looking at syllabi and asking, what books. And this just makes no sense for today. And so our faculty passed a very smooth policy. If you have a Associates of Arts or an Associate of Science from any accredited two-year institution, then you can come to Carthage. We'll take 2 years of credit. Your general education is complete. You need 2 more years to complete a bachelor's degree. Now, yes, exactly which program you choose may depend on what you've taken already. You're not likely to finish a chemistry degree if you haven't had any chemistry courses up to that point.
Right.
But there's certainly a way for you to finish in 2 more years. And that has been so great. We've had lots of students say, that's exactly what I was looking for. I'm going to be there. And so while most institutions have seen a decline, actually, in Wisconsin in the transfer enrollment this fall, we've seen a 25% increase.
Wow. And I wanted to ask you, is that just because Carthage is so wonderful in our unbiased opinion, or does it have something very specifically to do? And of course, I was well aware of that change in policy. But frankly, that exceeds my hopes and expectations, and maybe yours too, in terms of what a difference that would make. I mean, are you surprised by these numbers?
I'm not totally surprised, but I am very, very gratified. There's just so many ways in which our very complicated post-secondary system can hold students back, have them take extra classes they didn't need. And that's been a continuing conversation, and I'm so glad that we're able to play the right sort of role, which is to respect other institutions and what students have already achieved, and not spend a lot of time worrying about all the details, and then decide if they are able to come to Carthage and we can deliver to take them from where they are to where they need to go. It's really that simple, and all these rules about credits can just get in the way.
Right.
So I'm delighted. And when I meet these students, I mean, they're some of the hardest working. They've made, very practical choices, and they have a plan. And we want to be a part of that.
Sure. We're speaking with Dr. John Swallow, the president of Carthage College. We're speaking to him at the outset of a brand new academic year. The classes for this fall semester began yesterday. Just to continue on this opening topic in terms of all of the newcomers, this robust new class of freshmen, as well as many transfers and so on, it's really probably important for us to tell our listeners a little bit about a near catastrophe that occurred at the federal level in terms of something called FAFSA that threw a terrible monkey wrench into all of this process that's already fairly complicated. I mean, the process of recruitment and admissions and financial aid and so on. And a week from today, we're going to have a guest who's going to talk about this in even greater detail. But I think it'd be great if you would at least kind of summarize what this mess was and really, I'm sure, how scary it was kind of in the midst of it in terms of what effect it might have on these numbers that we've just been talking about.
Yes, the so-called FAFSA debacle. So there's a form that families fill out. They fill this form out for decades, where the federal government receives information and makes determinations on how much aid the federal government could provide, for instance, in Pell Grants for low-income families, or simply for loans for a variety of families. So this form had been, it's true, very long and complicated. I filled it out myself. Many people have filled this out. And so for a long time, Congress was saying, this is just too long. That's an obstacle to families. The aid is there. Let's not make this more complicated than it needed to be. So for a while, there was this conversation about simplifying it, which is good. I will say that. Simplifying it is good. However, the Department of Education was then tasked with rolling out the new form. And of course, the new form is on the web and there are all sorts of things like that. It seems like at the same time, this was an attempt to go back and fix a system which in the guts of it was based on a programming language called COBOL, which when I was growing up was old.
Oh dear.
anyway, so lots of good intentions, but the rollout, frankly, was a disaster and it was delayed. And it was delayed without clear indications about when it was going to be complete. So the new FAFSA, so-called new FAFSA, was going to, normally is open in October. It was not. So then they said it would be available in December, and then it was not. And then in January, partial opening, but then it had errors. Some people had to refile. Some people couldn't log back in and change their information for a while. And this just went on and on and on. And so when we all think about how complicated life is already, making a college choice is significant and families are thinking a lot about the finances, it's very frustrating not to be able to get a very clear answer to what you will pay. And we can say all that we want, but we can't make a claim about what the federal government will pay until we get the results of of that form. And so for all colleges and universities, this is something we had to deal with all year long, and it is a reason why many schools have seen a decline in enrollment. And so I just want to give all the kudos to our admissions staff again for just staying in contact with families enough, webinars, telling them the current status of things, so that they could be reassured that we will find a way through this, and that they will be able to enter their form, and in fact, we will help them enter their form, everything like that, rather than just sit on our hands, which I think some schools did and just said, well, this is affecting everybody, so there's nothing we can do. I think that was a big mistake.
Mm.
You should always try to help the people that you're there to serve. And so that is part of why we've seen another enrollment record year, and other schools have seen a decline.
Right, and I'm sure you and many others are breathing an enormous sigh of relief because, I mean, I think, I know that in the midst of this debacle, I mean, the great fear was that that it would lead to maybe another plunge in enrollment. It just could have played out so badly. And as you say, it did play out badly in a number of schools. And thankfully, not at Carthage, as far as we can tell. So yesterday was the first day of classes. But of course, well before that, we have various newcomers coming to campus and all kinds of things being done to make that a smooth process. Explain the kind of things that Carthage did this time around in terms of facilitating that big process of moving all these newcomers onto campus.
Well, every year we look at those first few days and ask how orientation and the move-in can be smooth and how we can get off with a great relationship with families. It's an emotional moment for many of them. The last thing anyone wants is bureaucracy or long lines. And this year, I would say our move-in for new students was as smooth as it's ever been. And in fact, it got even smoother than last year. Families were able to come. They were given a half-hour time period, and they were able to park without a problem. And then many activities had already happened online over the summer. So students could walk into our Clausen Center, show that they had the green check mark. And if they didn't have the green check mark, there are already people there with lots of capacity, no lines, to work on financial aid or work on housing. So they were able to pick up all the things they needed to move in, of course, their room key. But also this year, and this was a new initiative as well, they were able to pick up a box that already had their books for the classes they had registered for.
I didn't know about that.
In the same line. So wow. This is with a new bookstore provider called Slingshot, and we're very excited about that. So they were able to just pick it up with their keys, and then they would go to their car and drive, you know, the short distance on campus, park next to their door. A crucial thing in all of this, I can tell you having learned this over the years, is that we ask families, and we give them lots of help. We have a whole move-in crew of students.
Hmm.
We move everything from the car onto the sidewalk and then ask the car to go and park somewhere because we have our one road, and we need to get, you know, over 700 people moved in
right.
in the space of 6 hours. And that all went swimmingly, again. Mm. And so they got a lot of assistance. I helped a few families move in. But it was going so smooth, it was actually hard to provide a way to add any value. it's almost getting too smooth. I don't know what we're going to do about that. But then we also, this time, brought back an old Carthage tradition, which is that it had been the case that for new families, at the end of the move-in day, there was a picnic around the president's house. And that was when Carthage was smaller. But we decided to bring it back. And so we had, you know, nearly 2,000 people at tables all around Trinity House. It was very pleasant. The weather was beautiful. Families got to meet each other. You know, it wasn't another meeting to go to. And they could relax. And then it was actually at that moment that the orientation leaders all stood up with their cards with their numbers of each orientation group. And the new students went and met their orientation leader and then all went their merry way and did their icebreakers and things like that. And families hung out and had a little more to eat and drink. And it was very pleasant.
Yeah.
And so I was just thrilled. I mean, I went to sleep that evening thinking I can't imagine a smoother move-in day and how proud I was.
Right. And yes, how nice that Mother Nature cooperated to the extent that she did in terms of Saturday. Of course, her mood changed drastically over the next few days, and nobody listening to this needs to be told that we suffered an extraordinary couple of days of terrible heat and humidity. I think it's really impressive what Carthage did in terms of trying to service its students in the midst of that. So kind of explain what was done.
Yeah, so we just covered the move-in day for new students, but then, of course, we have many more returning students who are moving in to the residence halls. And so, yes, the weather was even hot. Sometimes we say warm, but I think this time it got to hot. Yeah. And so we still have an extensive move-in crew of students who are happy to help carry boxes. Some preseason athletes were able to help that. So it wasn't that anyone really needed to be carrying anything heavy for a long period. However, we do have some buildings that are air-conditioned, but not all the residence halls are. And so it became a particular question about what about students who felt that it was really hot and might have a hard time sleeping. So we certainly provided lots of bottled water and then opened up our field house, which is air-conditioned, in case people would like to spend the night there. I will say, though, that when it got to 11 p.m., which was the moment at which you had to decide, because they were going to lock the doors, whether you were going to sleep there or not, the number of students who decided to sleep there was zero.
Really?
So it's interesting. I think, you know, it's good to have the option and evaluate it. In the end, maybe being in the residence hall in your own bed with a fan is probably not as bad as had been thought earlier.
Right. And, of course, those dorms, even those legacy dorms without air conditioning, are perched right on the edge of the lake.
That's right.
So if you had to be someplace in southeastern Wisconsin, that was probably the very, very, very best place to be. So very good. You mentioned in passing this thing about orientation leaders. Just briefly describe that orientation process. What happens with these newcomers to campus?
Yes, so it's very important when new students come. Of course, they're meeting their roommate and they're meeting the folks on the hall, but we want them to develop bonds early, peer relationships and then relationships with older students and relationships with faculty and staff. So these orientation groups are designed so that there can be lots of interaction over the first couple of days before classes start. So they learn about Carthage traditions, they go to Kissing Rock, there are icebreakers where they share things about themselves, and it's all meant to be very low-key and smooth. There are also some fun activities for larger groups, but it's really meant to encourage the kind of building of early relationships and even friendships that can make such a difference. I mean, all the research shows that at a college campus, the number of relationships a new student builds, practically with anybody, whether it's a coach, faculty member, other students, that's a significant indicator in their success in the first semester. So if they remain isolated, they really are at risk for just not having a good launch to their college experience. But if we can make those contacts early, then it's like a community of support and frankly excitement and fun that sustains people even through those awkward moments that I know we all have when we wonder, you know, should I really be here? Or how am I going to do? Or, you know, how does everyone feel about me? Which are just very human things that students go through.
Right. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. John Swallow, the president of Carthage College. He and I are speaking on day two of a new academic year at Carthage College. Carthage has just welcomed to its campus, very likely, a record number of newcomers in terms of new freshmen, transfer students, and graduate students as well. I wonder if we could just touch briefly on that matter of more and more graduate students at Carthage. And first of all, what it means for a school to kind of move into that direction and offer graduate programs of one kind or another, and what you see as the benefit to the school beyond the specific benefit of, you know, this group of students that are doing this wonderful study and something they love, but I mean, how the campus or the college as a whole is richer, in your opinion, because of that addition to the mix?
Well, we've had graduate programs, particularly in education, for some time. And that's been a way, frankly, to deliver value to teachers in the Kenosha and Racine community, whether they're getting a master's degree or simply licensure. Maybe they weren't a teacher before and needed to get up to speed. But as we've looked at how we can provide value more broadly, there are many places. Music, for instance, business. And I think it provides a richer experience even for our undergraduates who can sometimes interact with people who are a little further along and who are also making choices about their life and can reflect back on what has seemed to work or not. And so these graduate programs, I'll start with music. It was a program that you might think of as pretty niche, that which was a master's of music, theater, vocal pedagogy. There's so many words there, you have to unpack that. You know, how to teach voice to students who will be in music theater. But that started attracting students from around the world. And then that's been broadened out to a master's of music pedagogy. And so that's growing. We're very excited about that. And I'd say some of those students, those graduate students, we call them, are great role models, again, for our undergraduates. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it provides an international connection that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And then comparatively recently, our business program started a Master of Science in Business Design and Innovation, and then a sports management, first a track, and now its own degree. And those two have now capped out. So they're full. We have wait lists.
What a problem to have.
Yes, of course, you know, as the president, I'm saying, well, we have to remove the cap. We have to figure out a way to teach some more students.
Right.
But that's just been great. And again, in the sports management case, our undergraduates are very interested in sports management. It's one of those things where a lot of the business disciplines might seem dry to some. Mm. I mean, you know, accounting doesn't always light people up. But ask them about the accounting for Fiserv Forum, for instance, yeah. and the difference between entertainment and, you know, ticket sales. And then people get really quite excited because they're talking about the bucks.
Right,
and,
right.
So, again, that interplay between the undergraduates and the graduate students. And then it also, because that graduate program has been the impetus for having, let's say, a sports management conference where we've had some major figures come. And we have a sports management advisory council that has been at the graduate level, but led by Craig Leopold, the owner of the Minnesota Wild, that, it again, enriches the experience for our undergraduates who are in their sports management interest group called the front office. And so whether it's a J-term trip, I just see so many curricular overlaps here. And so it's very exciting.
Yeah, and of course, that speaks to what a liberal arts college is all about, and
that's
those
right.
interconnections. So fantastic. Well, of course, your responsibilities as college president aren't just about fun things like creating new programs and attracting new students, but it's also the brick and mortar stuff that is such an important reality. And I know we've talked about this before, but briefly, I'd like you, for the sake of anybody who's maybe not acquainted with your background, to just summarize the vast array of responsibilities you had. Not that your responsibilities aren't vast at Carthage, but where you were before. You had a really interesting position there that touches on what we're about to explore.
Yes. Well, before I came to Carthage, I had spent 6 years as the provost and chief operating officer of my alma mater, Liberal Arts College in Tennessee, called Sewanee. And that 6 years I spent there was a great learning experience, I'll say that. I didn't start when I was teaching calculus, learning all these other things. But I ended up overseeing facilities, HR, virtually all the staff in one capacity or another, and was really responsible for making, you know, as a COO does, all the systems work on a day-to-day basis. And so whether it was land management or dealing with deferred maintenance or thinking about energy prices or a whole host of things, I got just firsthand knowledge of a lot of it. And then I was able to bring that to Carthage. And I would say that's been excellent preparation. Not that I spend most of my days on that today, but you know, you kind of know what the questions you want to ask, and you know when delegation is working effectively, which it is now,
because
you kind of know what to look for. And I'll say at my previous institution, again, my alma mater, the deferred maintenance was just enormous. And one of the very pleasant things about walking on the Carthage campus to begin with was how there are multi-story buildings, which means there aren't too many roofs
ah.
for the number of square feet. And already I was thinking, well, that's good. That's more efficient.
Wow.
And so things like that really matter. And so I'd say actually since I came, we've certainly been, you know, chipping away at all the systems that have to be replaced. Nobody likes to talk about these things, and they're largely invisible, but the boilers, the HVAC systems, you know, the fire alarm systems, all those things, they need to be updated. And so we're keeping up with that. We have more work to do. We will always have work to do as these things go. But we're also excited to do things that are visible and actually extend and improve the student experience. And so when those things happen, they're particularly fun to talk about.
Right. I go right ahead. I want to give you the chance to talk not about boilers, but about something, as you said, that is visible and apparent to the eye that makes a significant difference.
Yes. And I'll start with the Johnson Arts Center, which you know, is functionally a great building, but still looked as if it, on the inside, as if it had been constructed in the 70s. Which it had.
Right.
And anyway, it had an exterior door that looked like you were walking into a Soviet bunker. Mm-hmm. And the hallways, they just suggested a very old building.
Cinder block walls and drab carpeting. And
so over two summers, we've been able to work on that, and all from GIFs. I'm really proud to say that. So it's much more attractive. It's much more up to date. We did one of the hallways last summer, and then we did the other one this summer. And it's actually spurred the opportunity to display student artwork more, and because the Johnson Arts Center, of course, includes our arts department, including studio art. And so that's been a real joy to be able to do that, first with a bequest, and then second with a further gift from someone who walked through the summer before and said, well, it's great what we've been able to do so far, but we really ought to extend this further. We said, well, absolutely we should. So I'm very pleased with that. Our arts facilities have needed some attention. And then also, in that regard, this fall, we'll have some major, and again, largely invisible work on Siebert Chapel, which is coming up on its 50th pretty soon, to replace its HVAC system, and in particular, make it very quiet, because we weren't able to hear our musicians when they were performing at a piano level because the whoosh from the system, frankly, was just there.
Right. And, you know, just to clarify, I mean, if you sit on the ground floor towards the back, especially where those sorts of vents are, and you're about as far away from a performing musician as you can be, yeah, it is not the kind of situation that you want in order to be able to really hear what's being sung or played. And for that matter, even when somebody is speaking,
yes.
I mean, it just creates a competition that you just don't want to have.
So we're delighted to be able to do that, thanks to a gift from Kenosian Grace Kolakowski, which has been extremely meaningful. So as Siebert Chapel comes up on 50 years, we remind ourselves that, you know, it was built in the 70s when Carthage was, you know, maybe half of its current size.
Right.
I'm sure that was a performance space then, but it's definitely a performance space now, and we have so many musical groups and otherwise using the space that we have to optimize it completely. So this will be phase one of that work, and we'd also like to make it more flexible. We'd like to put a lift in to be able to store musical instruments. So lots to come on that, but I'm very excited. And then I'm sure many listeners have driven by Carthage and saw the new turf on Art Keller Field, which I think just looks fabulous. So that's been another advance in our facilities that we're proud of.
Very good. And, of course, what has been done recently that remains really important is the expansion of dorm space, dormitory space on campus. And those facilities are beautiful and functional, and they've made a huge, huge difference.
That's right. That's right. So the tower has really become quite attractive, and I'm sure many listeners know about the Oaks that were the residence halls built on the south end of campus some years ago. And I should point this out. That was an example of a wonderful partnership with the city of Kenosha, because the land underneath the Oaks in particular is leased from the city in exchange for 8 full tuition scholarships for students who grew up in the city of Kenosha. And the number of students who've come through and the amazing work they've done is just outstanding. And this fall, Ella Crowder's coming as one of those Oak Scholars. She was on the Wisconsin State softball team. Natalie Law, who's now an actress in L.A., came through that. Her sister, Anina Law, who's going to be a nurse, is coming through that same program. Destiny Garcia from Lakeview Tech Academy, another fantastic student. And then some listeners may remember Joseph White, you know, the national champion shot put and hammer throw student who hadn't even done those events really before coming to Carthage. And so it's such a great program. So when I look at the Oaks, I think about all of that and the human element to all of that.
Very good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Speaking of the human element, I know that you are excited about not just the new students on campus, but some new faculty and staff, of course. There's always that infusion of new talent and energy that makes such a difference. And I know that in particular, you would like to talk about Carthage's new football coach and what you have already seen in terms of the kind of culture that he is building.
That's right. Matthew Papino, or as people call him, Coach Pop, has made a sensation since he arrived in January and hired some staff and did some recruiting. And we all thought this was going to be great, but we had no idea, frankly, what we were going to see come fall. And we get to preseason, and I'll just say the first clue I had on this was I was driving by against our new Keller Field, and just the visual aspect of the practice, I mean, it looked very organized. It looked like there were several groups doing several things, just not the way it had looked before. And then I come to understand that there are lots of rules and there's lots of discipline. No candy, no junk food, no phones in the cafeteria, no phones in the athletic center, lights out at 10:30 in the residence halls. In fact, enforced because the coaches, including Coach Pop, at least during preseason, were living in the dorms just to make sure. I talked to some of the students about this, and they said, this is great. We love the discipline. We love the accountability. One of the students told me, like, I text them at 10:15, say, I'm already in bed. You don't need to come and check on me again. It's all good. And so many people, when hearing this, think this is just such a great advance to bring up young men in a culture of sort of camaraderie, but also discipline and intending to achieve great things together. To the extent that there's already a student leadership council. So, in fact, when there does need to be some discipline delivered, Coach Pop just takes it to the students and asks them what's happened. And he's done all this, and, you know, we just started classes. And so we are very excited about this and think that recruiting is going to be extremely strong. And over time, if you build the right culture, I think you're going to see a lot of success. I talked to two students in the CAF and asked them if they could just boil down his philosophy. And they said, well, presence, well, it's really pretty simple. We're going to do things the right way. And because of that, we're going to win.
All right.
I thought, well, that's sort of a motto for life right there.
No kidding. That's just great. And I think back to a name that will be familiar to a lot of people listening. That's Tim Rux, who was the head football coach for many, many years and a really important part of the program and a Carthage grad. And I think of how important that was to him, academic integrity and so on. And I know for many, many years, the football team during the football season would earn a GPA that was greater than the campus at large because they had all of these study forums and groups and so on. There was very intense oversight. I mean, and this is while the season is underway. And I remember being just so impressed by that. And I saw it with my own eyes in terms of, you know, occasionally a football student that would take exploring music or something. And I would see that dedication. And so I just feel like the late Tim Rux is looking down and smiling that the football program continues to embrace this as important. And it sounds like there's the right person at the helm to take it even to another level. We're talking with Dr. John Swallow, the president of Carthage College. I know another newcomer that you are happy to welcome is the new campus pastor.
Yes, Adam Miller Stupendick comes to us actually most recently from a posting in the Middle East when he was doing some international ministry in Jerusalem and the West Bank. He comes as a Lutheran for our Lutheran school, of course. Went to Gustavus Adolphus, was at Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, and he and his family have already made such an impact. We have, I think, significant aspirations for our Center for Faith and Spirituality to serve Lutherans, to serve Christians, to serve those who are not Christian, and to have more religious expression on campus. And Adam is very excited about that. Hmm. And I think he's going to bring a lot. We were talking about just now orientation those first few days. We put the chapel service on the orientation schedule. And I said, you know, this time let's not say optional. Hmm. Let's just put it on the calendar. I mean, some people will choose not to come. We had many students and families attend. Ah. It was a beautiful service involving students, whether as readers or as musicians. And he gave a fantastic sermon. Ah. And so I'm very excited for the year ahead.
Fantastic. So glad to hear that. Anybody else in terms of staff or administration or faculty that you want to mention by name?
Well, there's so many wonderful people. If we're just restricting ourselves to new people, I have to mention our new vice president for advancement. I'm sorry, Phil Hood. Hmm. So he, again, a Lutheran student. He went to Luther College. But great experience. He was vice president for advancement, the same role at Lake Forest College for 7 years. Has spent some time in boarding schools. And just brings a wealth of experience and assessment, and which I think will elevate our entire operation, which is great because, as we've just mentioned, gifts can really help us advance the student experience. And in the years to come, there will be great challenges that can be met with resources. And so I'm excited that my friend Phil is with us, and I look forward to all that he's going to bring, quite literally.
Fantastic. Speaking of resources, I mean, one of the ways in which Carthage brings in income occurs over the summer when various facilities get rented out for various workshops and camps and conventions and so on. And this was yet another busy summer for that. I know that there was one event in particular that I know meant a whole lot to you and to your wife, Cameron Swallow, and that was the national convention for an organization named Braver Angels. And right at the outset of that event, we had a morning show about that with Cameron and with one of the co-creators of Braver Angels. Could you just say a word about what you think this event meant to Carthage and what it meant for Carthage to host such an event?
Well, first, we're so delighted to be able to host significant conferences and activities. This was, I'd say, a new level for us. Hmm. To have a national convention come, people from all over the country come to visit our campus. And the Braver Angels' mission is to have people talk very openly across political difference. And it was, I would say, first of all, these are great, friendly people. We got to meet so many of them, all walking around with their red and blue lanyards because people are very open about their political leanings. But then it reached a new level in that they had planned this convention. They didn't realize, of course, when they planned it, that the very first night would be a presidential debate.
Mm.
And they had a little conversation. Should we not watch it? They thought, well, no, this is why we're here. So in the chapel, all these 700 folks watched the presidential debate together, talked about it together. It may have been the largest bipartisan debate watch party in the country. And this was really touching to me, to watch them at the end of each evening, including that one, just sing together, like America the Beautiful.
Wow.
And just incredible. So, Cameron, my wife Cameron, has been very involved in Braver Angels and also Braver Angels music. And so we were delighted that they were able to choose Carthage to be the national convention site and, frankly, to be a little bit of a home base as they've done activities at the two national political party conventions in Milwaukee and Chicago.
Right. This was a great location. Yeah.
So that was just thrilling, and we hoped solicit some more national conventions in the future. Also this summer we had a Wisconsin Synod music and arts program with 900 people. And then actually all together, if you count not only the adults, as we might say in this instance, but also the high schoolers and others who are on campus. We had 7,000 visitors this summer, which is great for so many reasons. Keeps the campus vibrant, keeps our facilities going, continues to provide some income that can support our students, and then, of course, allows more ways for us to become known and to provide value to the community.
Fantastic. Finally, on a very personal note, I understand that you have been engaged in a new musical experience that it sounds like is provided you with a great deal of fun and satisfaction. Tell our listeners about that.
Oh, it's been fantastic, Greg. One of the difficulties about a job like the one I have is that it's hard to do something on a regular basis. And so I was looking for opportunities to sing and couldn't quite find the right one. And then I found that there's a barbershop chorus. And they rehearse on Monday nights, which of all the nights is the easiest for me to be away because it's the least likely that there'll be a big event at Carthage. Hmm. And also it's a bunch of you know, men with jobs, and so people do have to miss occasionally. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
And so it's sort of the right speed or the right level. I was nervous because this is the first audition I'd had in a very long time. But happily they took me, and this is called the Midwest Vocal Express. It's a barbershop chorus that does compete. We do a December show, we do a spring show, and it's about 30 years old. The director is Brian Ziegler. It was actually started by his father, Walt Ziegler. And Brian started coming to these rehearsals when he was 9 years old.
Oh, boy.
And then he went on, of course, to become part of a quartet, which, of course, is very serious.
Yeah.
And then he won the international competition as a quartet. So it's been great for me to be a part of this, to be with a great group of guys, some of whom are substantially younger than me and some are older. Some have been in this group for over 25 years consecutively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a happy time where I can kind of let the rest of the world be what it is and immerse myself in the music and then just try to do a good job.
Yeah, there you go. So you can take a few hours and not think about boilers and enrollment and
yes,
all of that.
That's right. That's right.
The cares of the office. Well, that's wonderful to hear. And of course, Kenosha once upon a time was the world headquarters to the Barbershop Society. And although their headquarters have now moved elsewhere, that's still a very strong legacy in this community. So.
It is. And there's a fellow chorus member, Brian Lynch, had come to Kenosha to work for the Barbershop Harmony Society, and he still works for the Barbershop Harmony Society, even though the headquarters is in Nashville.
Right. Yeah, great. He's been on the morning show on several occasions as well. Wonderful, wonderful guy, and I'm glad that that you are getting to know some great people in this new adventure for you. Well, in the meantime, I appreciate your time in what I know is a probably exceptionally busy time. To join me here on the morning show to talk about all of these things related to the health and well-being of Carthage College. Dr. John Swallow, the president of Carthage College, thank you so much. I look forward to our future conversations and best wishes to you.
Thank you, Greg.
We want to mention that next Tuesday, the 3rd of September, I look forward to speaking with President Swallow's counterpart at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, our neighbors to the north, Chancellor Lynn Akey will be my guest. Again, next Tuesday, the 3rd of September. Tomorrow on the morning show, conversations about several books intended for young readers, including a wonderful new manga novel called Uniko, based on one of the most beloved characters in that genre. And of course, we'll have podcast interviews available for you over the weekend and on Monday, which is Labor Day, when the station will be closed. I already mentioned Tuesday being a visit from Chancellor Lynn Akey from Parkside. On Wednesday, we'll have some representatives from the Kenosha Public Library talking about an exciting event coming up. And a week from today, on Thursday the 5th, Ashley Hansen, who is actually the head of admissions at Carthage, will be talking in more detail about the extraordinarily complex process of recruitment in the world of colleges and universities. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Today will be partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 83 degrees. Overnight, a low of 68. Tomorrow, cloudy with a 70% chance of rain. Again, a high of 83 degrees. But right now, we're promised sunshine and pleasant conditions Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, in Lake Geneva.